segment brought to you by Tour Edge, CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. We're out of here a little early today, 10:30, to make way for White Sox baseball and White Sox Weekly with Connor McKnight. If you missed any part of the show, you can get it on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search the CDGA Golf Show. Let's get a couple calls in before we get to the Houston Open. Mike is in the burbs. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm a, you know, dozen-time-a-year golfer, maybe a couple more than that. Anyways, and I have very old Titleist DCI irons with the graphite shaft. Love the clubs. And unfortunately, my son's broke two of them, so I'm at the point of... You know what? It's a learning mistake. It's okay. But, you know what? I'm going to buy a new set of clubs. And, you know, I don't buy them that often. So I want to get a good set, a great set. I want to be able to... you know, have something for 10 years. Titleist, $1,000, you know, the set, or maybe middle-of-the-road 500. I mean, I got to go and hit them at the PGA store, but what do you guys recommend? But I just love that graphite shaft, and I know people are steering me away from it, going, oh, go to steel. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, as far as steel versus graphite, and not knowing your swing speed and your age, I have found that graphite shafts, as we get a little bit older in life, are much more user-friendly in a sense that it takes a lot of the shock and the uncomfortableness in your wrists and your elbows. It's a little bit more user-friendly as we age up a little bit with the graphite. But graphite and technology have come a long, long way. There used to be a time when I would tell you, do not put the graphite into your irons. Keep it in the driver, in the woods, but the amount of torque and twist in the graphite still had not been really perfected. It is now. They can dial in the torque and twist based on your ability to maneuver and handle the golf club and the swing speeds that you go. So they can put a extra stiff in there, and they can also make it like a licorice stick, but it can perform for what you need it to do. So my advice to you is get fitted. Go to either Club Champion or go to PGA Superstore. And okay, I would try, and that's the beauty of what you can do when you go through a fitting. You can find the shaft that really does what it's supposed to do. And then it's a question of the cosmetics of what you like to look at down at the end and what feels the best. But the most important component in selecting a set of golf clubs is the shaft. Everybody thinks it's the head. It's the shaft. So get a shaft that works for you, feels good, and the numbers and the launch monitors, when you're going through a fitting, will prove to you exactly what shaft you should be playing.
Yeah, I agree. I'm 53, but I've had these clubs for a while, and, you know, I got a horrible slice on my driver I'm always working on, but the irons, I mean, these darn irons, I can just crush the ball straight, and I'm like, I love these graphite shafts. I'm like, I can feel the forgiveness in it, right, versus that shock of the steel. So
and,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and the other thing, I would make sure you bring your iron or at least one of those clubs with you so the fitter knows exactly what it is that you like so he can match today's versions of graphite versus yesteryear.
Okay, and then, you know, I mean, getting those clubs repaired, you know, I was hearing 100, 150, get them, you know, replaced. And I'm thinking about giving them to my son. Is that even worth it, do you think, these days? I mean, since you're so old, or should I just kind of...
Well, how old is your son? How old is your son?
He's 16.
16, they would be a nice club for him then. I would do that as a starter, beginning kind of intermediate set before he gets serious about the game and finishes his growth spurt and where he'll ultimately be in terms of his overall height and eventually getting a custom set for himself.
Okay, and then real quick, I use clubs. Like, if I wanted to find like a 5-iron and I think it's a 3-iron, marketplace, or do you know who sells like individual, I might be able to find these?
Yeah, the best place we have found when you find that you need to match one oddball club, eBay.
I was going to say, eBay.
Yep.
You can find
just about
pretty
anything.
Good. Yeah,
and that we've had to do that. And my son, in fact, over at Fox Bend last year, he hit a par three, number three. He hits the ball onto the green, but the club head flew off and went right in the middle of the pond. There was no getting that back.
Yeah.
And he's left-handed, and it was a pitching wedge. So
oh,
we
boy.
Had it, but he found it on eBay. Good to go.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks so much, Mike. Appreciate you. Mike and the Burbs, look at you imparting a little wisdom there. I think we've got a couple trivia contestants here. You got a couple more questions?
That I do.
Trivia Master. All
that
right. Max wants to play a little Master's Trivia.
Yes.
What do you got, Matt? Are you ready, Max?
Yes, sir.
All right, Max. All right. Have you ever hit a shot when you're about, like, from 150 yards out to about a foot, and it's just a kick-in birdie?
No, I haven't.
Okay, you haven't? All right, Max, have you ever had that happen to you?
So this is, I have not.
Okay, so this question is a kick-in birdie. If you can't get this, now think about, we're talking about the Masters. So after which flower did Sergio Garcia and his wife name their daughter? A, the Golden Bell. B, Camellia. Or C, Azalea.
I'm going to go with C, Azalea.
There you go,
there you
Max.
Go. All right.
We got a winner on the board. We'll get you on hold. We'll get your information. And we'll get you a Masters journal. Michael also wants to do a little Masters trivia. Good morning, Michael.
Morning.
All right, Michael. Now, this is a little bit of a tougher, kind of a trick question. But again, keep in mind Masters. Which former British Open champion never broke par at the Masters? Was it John Daly, Bobby Jones, or Bill Rogers?
I'm going to go John Daly.
Unfortunately, that is not the correct answer.
Sorry, Michael.
The answer was... Oh, do we have another player?
We do have another. Oh, we might have another player.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll find out if they are up for a little Masters trivia. We'll find out in a little bit there. But, you've been stumping everyone today. Look at you.
I just can't believe it.
All right.
Stay with this. This is going to be a 50-50.
All right. Ryan wants to partake in a little Masters trivia here. You ready, Ryan?
Ready to go, Tyler.
Okay. So, Ryan, I just asked the other caller which former British Open champion never broke par at the Masters, and I gave him the options of John Daly, Bobby Jones, or Bill Rogers, and he guessed John Daly, and that was incorrect. So, was it Bobby Jones or Bill Rogers?
Bobby Jones.
You are correct.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. He only, believe it or not, played in one Masters, tied for 13th, and he never broke par.
Amazing.
So, nicely done, Ryan.
All right, Ryan, we will get you on hold. Congratulations. We'll get you a Masters journal as well. All right, real quick, want to kind of speed through, and we can... I think there's two prongs to this. There's first what's going on down at the Houston Open right now. You look at the leaderboard, and Tony Finau ahead of the pack. He's got a two-shot lead over the rest of the field at 9-under. Some other notable names, Scottie Scheffler at 5-under in this one. And I just look at Gary Woodland is 2-under. Wyndham Clark also 2-under. There's some solid talent in this, but I think you look at, I mean, Scotty, Texas guy, wants to play in this event, certainly. And he is someone who I think wants to just kind of bottle up this momentum right now and kind of carry it through into the Masters week and into the getting to Augusta, because he's shown in the past that when he has that momentum going in, he can go out and be a champion.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And to your point, this field's got some pretty good names in it. But then after those names go away, it falls fast.
Yeah.
I mean, it becomes very vanilla, extremely vanilla. But nonetheless, the guys that you're hoping to see in the bigger names, they're all playing very well. And I'm really excited for Tony Finau, because I think Tony Finau can win at Augusta. That guy has got the kind of game that can do it. But
still looking for that first major.
Still looking for the first major, and I could easily see it being the Augusta event, just because that guy has had some success there. But, you know, I look at that one time. Remember when he had the hole-in-one, and he was jumping up and down, and he basically breaks his ankle, but then goes out and shoots 66 or 67 in the next round? So, but yeah, there's a guy I'd love to see do well. But to your point, Scottie Scheffler is just being Scottie Scheffler, just getting it done. And, you know, Texas guy, wouldn't be a bit surprised if that putter catches on fire and he ends up winning by two or three.
You alerted me to an interesting little tidbit that Sahith Theegala proposed.
Yes.
where you invite a bunch of true scratch golfers who on the Monday after the PGA Tour finishes their event at whatever course they're playing at, you invite scratch golfers and see how they perform, just to see the disparity between what a tour golfer is and what a scratch golfer is.
Yeah, and I think it's a great idea, actually. And basically, I think this is to illustrate the point that what Sahith was trying to say is, like, the media is pretty hard on us as far as some of the shots. Like, he goes, you know, oh, well, he hit it in the middle part of the green, and, you know, that was an okay shot. And Sahith is saying, no, that was really a great shot, and I'm happy with that shot. So his point is, folks, if you really want to understand just how difficult a track that we have to play is, let's bring out a couple of scratch players. Let's bring the game to the fans. He thinks it would also be good for fan interaction. Mm-hmm. People would probably want to watch, you know.
Yeah.
Let's see, after a great event, the very next day, they don't move the whole locations, nothing. It is stays exactly, the rough stays exactly where it is. The ropes are where they are. The grandstands are where they are. And let's see how you could actually perform on their stage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it would be wonderful if we could do such a thing. But generally speaking, the Monday after is either reserved for, you know, playoff, you know, rain delay kind of a thing, suspension. Or there's usually a media or a sponsor outing after. But I think this all kind of comes up when they are now at a place. It's a municipal golf course. For those who don't know, where they're playing this week is just like going out to the Village Links in Glen Ellen, where I grew up. It's a municipal golf course.
You know, and you brought this up, too. The green fees at Memorial Park are unbelievably affordable. As well. I mean, so
especially if you're a resident.
Yeah, if you're a resident. So if you're a junior Monday through Thursday, it's $10 if you're a resident.
And this is a PGA Tour golf course.
You can't even get a cart for $10 these days. Non-resident, it's $60. Still, for a PGA Tour golf course, extremely affordable. For seniors, residents, $15. I mean, I feel like I'm at the concession stand at Augusta right now.
I know.
For non-residents, it's $80 for seniors. Weekday, just your standard green fee for a resident, $30.
Isn't that something?
For non-residents, it's $120, which still, like, for a PGA Tour caliber course, an immaculate price. Weekends are $38 for residents, $140 for non-residents. Weekday twilights are $21.90 for non-residents, and then weekend twilights, $28 for residents and $110 for non-residents.
And you know what I really like about the change that the PGA Tour made specific to this event and this golf course? This event used to be in the fall. This is now the first time they're competing in the spring. And why that is important is the overseeding and the, you know, the agronomy of the golf course is far different in the spring than it is in the fall.
Yeah.
And the golf course is in great shape. And the players love it. And it's hard to find a municipal golf course that can hold up to a PGA Tour event and one that the PGA Tour players like to play.
Yeah.
So I think the future of this event is in a really good place, and I think it's good for golf, where players or fans can play the same venue that the players that they're watching on TV, and they can do so at a cost that's affordable, so that we can actually gain a sense of appreciation for just how good these guys really are.
Now, how much of this pricing has to do with the fact that it is in Houston? You're getting 12 months of use over the course of the year, as opposed to you come up to the state of Illinois, you got to make 12 months revenue over the course of 7-8 months.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a bit of that. I think anytime
now you do have to maintain it for 12 months.
Well,
too,
you do. Yeah, you do. But you also are hitting the cash register 12 months a year, too, where up here, a lot of our municipal golf courses basically go dark during the winter as far as revenue for on-course play. So, yes, I think it's a bit supply and demand. The demand for us, we have quite a bit of it. We don't have an ample supply for when the weather is good. So I do think some of the pricing does enter into, or the the efficiency on the pricing enters into that a bit. But there are a ton of other golf courses that are in Southern California, Arizona, Florida, and whatnot, and they're priced out of sight, and they're still public golf courses. What makes this, I think, even more unique is it's part of the government. It's part of a municipality.
Yeah.
So that's why you're showing love to the residents, just like they do out in Glen Ellyn.
Yeah.
Glen Ellyn residents play the Village Links at a song, you know, but outsiders, we have to pay a premium to go over there and play. And that, by far, the Village Links is probably, if not the number one municipal golf course in our district, it's among the top three for sure as far as venue, you know, the length. I mean, they for years and decades, they would hold the Western Open qualifier there every the Monday of every week at Butler National. They would go to the Village Links. So.
Yeah. Real quick, let's get Rick in. He's got a question about getting his clubs fitted. What's going on, Rick?
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's going on? It's not more of a question. It was just like reiterating your point to the last caller with the old Titleist and doing it. I just got fitted and picked my clubs up yesterday, took a bunch of casual shots, and I was noticing way massive improvements on distance, on height, even on accuracy. And I was playing with garbage off-the-shelf clubs I bought 15 years ago.
So what did you end up getting, Rick? What kind of clubs?
I went the Club Champion, and I just did my irons and wedges. We tested through, I would say, at least a dozen iron heads and at least half a dozen shafts. And I ended up with PXG iron heads and these Raysian graphite shafts that are pretty outstanding. And then some Callaway wedges, 54 and 60 degree.
Wow. Nice. That's very nice. So what I just said to the other caller, Rick, that's the formula for success, what Rick just did, folks. That's exactly the type of fitting you need to go through. And did you know that you were going to get the PXG clubs before you walked in there, or is that what you discovered?
No, I absolutely said I hope it's not going to be PXG because of the price. But you know what? I got the Series 5. The next Series, Series 6, are like $200 more ahead. So I'm glad I snuck in there and got the Series 5 before they were sold out of them. So, I mean, it's pricey. They're $200 just for the PXG. And then roughly another $150 for the shafts itself. So it's kind of getting expensive.
It can be, but they're going to last you for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly the thing. The weights and the heads are interchangeable, so I can reevaluate over time. And I'll say this. Like, when I did the fitting, it was all done off of the 6-iron, and you could just see how every time we made a switch, something was getting better, whether it was the distance or the height or combination. But you could just see these things going further and further every single time. So well worth it. And it was just like I grinded for the last 15 years, went from being just a very casual golfer to playing over 30 rounds a year. And I played these clubs to death that I had, and they could only take me so far. So it's like, yeah, I needed to take the next step.
Well, Rick, I am excited for you. And hopefully you get out today and have a chance to use them.
Well, I'm going to a range very shortly. I'm not going to be able to play this weekend, but next weekend's weather is looking very good and promising.
Beautiful. Love to hear it, Rick. Appreciate it. Thanks for chiming in.
Yep, thanks.
Thanks, Rick.
That's Rick in Elmhurst there. All right, when we come back, we will take a look around the CDGA. This segment has been brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Thank you to Justin Pottinger for producing today's show. This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Mike, what's happening around the CDGA?
Well, Tyler, everybody, CDGA members, be on the lookout this week. The new April edition, and I'm holding it up for Twitch, is arriving to your mailbox this week with the cover story being Hank Haney, who ditches the desert and resides now back here in on the North Shore and enjoying quite a career up on the North Shore teaching some of our newest youth coming into the game. But also there is a cool article about a CDGA member, Kirk Hepburn story. He's a CBS cameraman, a CDGA member, and this is going to be his 28th year on the 12th tee box being a cameraman. Wow. And it is a cool story. So for those, pick it up. It's a great read. And, you know, enjoy the magazine. The guys, Casey and the boys, do a great job cranking this thing out. It's one of the best member benefits we have to offer. And so you got 72 pages of great reading coming at you.
Awesome. Love to hear it. All right, that's going to do it for us here on the CDGA Golf Show. The White Sox Weekly is coming up next with Connor McKnight. This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. We'll be back with you next week, 9 a.m. here on ESPN 1000.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.